Hey everybody, the Air Raid Podcast is now sponsored by the American Brewing Company in Edmonds, Washington. They're one of the fastest growing microbreweries in the Northwest, featuring the extremely talented brewmaster Skip Madsen. His breakaway IPA has become their number one bestseller. Stop by and find out why. You will not be disappointed. American Brewing Company. Drink domestic. Buy American.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Well, hello and welcome.
Oh, hey.
To the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 61.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight to your ear holes. Welcome to the show, everyone. We have got a great one for you today. Very, very entertaining. The band Pickwick, here from Seattle, are going to be joining me shortly. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I promise that you are going to enjoy the shit. Wow, I swore really early into the show this time. I try to kind of hold back until, you know, the guests get here, but I didn't. Because that's how I roll.
Boom.
Now. But yeah, you are going to enjoy this episode. I kid you not. Because it is really good. Let me take a sip here. Of the fantastic American Blonde from the American Brewing Company. Located in Edmonds, Washington. You heard the advertisement at the beginning of the show. You guys need to check these guys out. Because it is fantastic, fantastic beer. And boy, that intro music, man, I need to extend the little... It just seems like it is not long enough now. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. Anyway, we've got a fantastic show for you today. I am going to be going up to my little brother's, wedding reception today. Mairead and I, my brother and his now wife got married a couple weeks ago on the beautiful island of Kauai, and we could not attend. I felt bad that we couldn't go, but you know what? It was a small ceremony. We couldn't go for certain reasons because of the baby and not having any vacation time saved up or anything like that. So, it just had to happen that way. Just had to happen. And, it's okay, right? It's okay that I didn't attend my own brother's wedding, even though I was supposed to be the best man. But he found another guy. I'm a little jealous. But, you know, that's just the way the world works. Sometimes, right? So anyway, we're going up to the reception today in Mount Vernon, and then on the way back, I'm going to be stopping in Anacortes to interview the Lonely Forest, which is going to be the next episode up next week, and hopefully they show up to this place that I'm supposed to be interviewing them at. I promised to buy them drinks, so I think that's how I got them on. But I'm super excited. So this is speaking of the Lonely Forest, this is going to be the next two episodes we're doing here. We're featuring bands that are playing at the upcoming music festival and arts festival here in Seattle, Bumbershoot. The Bumbershoot, and it's Bumbershoot, not Bumbershoot. It's Bumbershoot, which means umbrella in the local Native American language. Yeah, so we're going to be featuring, you know, Pickwick on this episode 61, and on episode 62, we're going to be featuring The Lonely Forest, which, you know, two great, great bands, man, right in a row. This is pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited. But anyway, yeah, so we're going up to Mount Vernon today. Mount Vernon, Washington, way north of Seattle. And I think I'm going to have to give a little speech today in front of a bunch of people. And the last time I did this, I did it at a friend's wedding. I was part of the, I don't know, what do you call it? One of the groomsmen, right? And nobody wanted to talk. Like the guys, like the even the best man, he didn't really, well, he said something. But nobody else wanted to talk. So I felt obligated kind of to say something at this huge crowd. I mean, there was like, I don't know, there was 200 people there. And I've played music in front of more people than that. But there's something about just standing there with a microphone that freaks me out. Like I had nothing, nothing to do with my hands, blah, blah, blah. But I was shaking so bad when I did this the last time, and I'm hoping that I don't get super like choked up or I don't know. My brother's been through a lot, and this is something that we're gonna have to talk about in a later episode. But we went through a bone marrow transplant a couple years ago. I donated my bone marrow to my little brother. And we didn't even think that he would be alive today. So it's pretty amazing that, medical science, man. Medical science kept my brother alive. And now he's getting married, and I'm just so proud of him. So congratulations to Brad and Katie Roden, my little brother. My little brother, man. He's married. That's pretty crazy to me. That is really crazy to me. So congratulations to them. And I am going to try to... I don't even have anything really prepared to say or anything like that. But I'm sure I'll work it out. And, I'm getting practice. Being on the microphone in front of all of you guys. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. I'll make sure to update you in the next episode about how it went. Let's get some plugs out of the way here before I get on to the next subject that I really, really just kind of feel the need to talk about here. But remember, you guys can find us on iTunes, we really appreciate the ratings and the reviews. We still have a goal here at the Air Raid Podcast that I want to get to. Let's see, what did I say last time? Maybe 100 star ratings. And 50 reviews. I think we're at 32 reviews now. We're at 32 reviews, and we just got a new one that I am going to see. Here's the problem. I never have any of this stuff prepared, and now I'm searching on the second computer that I have running here to do the show, and now it's really boring because now I'm talking you through this step by step about what I'm doing. But we've got another review, and it was a good one. It was a good one. It says "Bitchin' Podcast" by Silent in the Mother Lickin' Hizzo. Aaron's turned his lycanthropy into an asset, fighting crime in the alleys of dirty, filthy Seattle night after. Oh wait, this is for his podcast. Dude, he like interviewed the Trailer Park Boys. That's all I got to say. So, you can write something like that, It's two sentences long. Leave us a star, or it takes 1 second to leave us a star rating on iTunes, and we really really appreciate that because it lets us know that people are actually listening and that they like the show. So, yeah, and send me your emails too, cuz we do take suggestions on what bands to get on, what music to play, what we should talk about, and how to improve the show. And that's something that, is very valuable to me and valuable to you as well, because you're the one suggesting it. So, yeah, don't forget that. Aaron at air-raid.net. You can also find us on the Noisebeam Network, because we are part of that. Bunch of great shows up there. And that's it. That's all for the plugs. Oh, and don't forget Stitcher. Oh, man. Oh, man. I wanted to talk about something really, really quick before we get to this interview with Pickwick. At work the other day, I work for a local municipality here in the Seattle area, a more affluent one, if you could say. And I went to this park. I used the restroom there. There was a man shaving in the park restroom. And when I got, he left the bathroom before I got out. And when I got out, he was at his car, and he turned to me and said, "I bet you don't see many homeless people here." And I was a little taken aback by that. I mean, I didn't, you know, I kind of figured, you know, the thought crossed my mind that he may be homeless. I mean, he is shaving in the park restroom, which I have seen before in the city that I work. But you know, it took me back, and I went around my car and I started talking to him. I asked him, I said, "So you're homeless?" He said, "Yes." And we just started talking a little bit, and I offered him some food, and he declined, said that, you know, he goes to the food bank and gets food and stuff. And it made me start, when I pulled away, I mean, I thought about this guy all day yesterday. And, you know, just because I didn't have any cash, and I felt bad. I wanted to give him some money, but I didn't have any with me. And I just thought about him all day. We'll call him James. James was a very nice man. He said that he was, he used to be, before kind of the economic debacle that we're in right now here in the United States, he was a what do you call it, a travel, what's the word, travel guy, travel consultant, or geez, come on, Aaron, God, see, this is it. I'm thinking about what I should say at my brother's wedding reception. I can't think of the word for it. But, you know, he works in travel, or he did work in travel, and got laid off. The business closed down and everything like that, and he's just been having some rough times, you know. And so, I mean, I was just thinking about it all day yesterday, thinking about how lucky I am and how lucky we are. You who are listening to this podcast right now, you're probably pretty lucky because you're listening to this on a computer. You have access to a computer. You have access to an iPod, an iPhone, an Android phone or something, however you're listening to this. We are lucky to have what we have. We're especially lucky in the first world, right? I mean, look around you. Look at all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. Look at Libya. Look what is happening in Libya. How scary would it be to live in a place like that where there's revolution happening all around you? People are firing guns up in the air as in celebration. People are dying. How scary is that? We've never had to really, with the exception of like 9/11 in our lifetimes, we've never had to go through something like that, especially my generation. Of course, the generation that was, you know, during World War II, they had to sacrifice a lot. But we don't have to sacrifice that much anymore. And I know this is an old topic. A lot of people talk about this. But just I just was thinking yesterday, after meeting this man, James, about how lucky I am. And how lucky a majority of us here in America are. And how lucky a majority of probably our listeners over in Norway, by the way, thank you very much for listening, are over there. We are very, very lucky to have what we have and have access to democracy, right? So I think this is getting lost today because we don't have to sacrifice much in our lives, and we're losing touch with that. We're losing touch with the compare and contrast in the rest of the world. We're losing touch with knowing how good we have it. Right, so let's start making a change here, and let's stop bickering. Who cares if you're right wing or you're left wing or you're Republican or Democrat, your Green Party, whatever. Who cares? Who cares? People have other ideas, right? Let's try to stop judging each other, judging one another on this. Boy, we got serious here for a second, didn't we? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. I don't know. That's just been, you know, kind of weighing on my mind anyway. You know, just a little bit of seriousness before we get into just goofy the Air Raid podcast material here with the band Pickwick. This is a great point to stop, think about what I just said, and we'll go with our first musical break here. Before we bring the band on, we're going to go with the song Hacienda Motel off of one of their 7-inch EPs here. And they are actually getting ready to record with a very well-known producer that was not lined up when we recorded this. You know, it's coming down the pipes, and they're going to have a full length here soon. So we'll be sure to make sure you guys know where to get that when it comes down. But this is Hacienda Motel by the band Pickwick, and when we get back, we will have Galen and Michael from the band here talking with me on the Air Raid podcast. We'll be back in just one moment. I'm joined in dining room studios with Galen and Michael from the band Pickwick, the one of the most busy bands in Seattle right now, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah, we've been
busy.
You guys are busy.
I won't disagree.
Okay.
Oh, shit, I just broke rule number one.
That was awkward.
That was.
Well, thank you guys for coming in and doing the show with me. Today, we all basically just got off work.
Yeah.
So we're all a little bit pissy. Yeah.
No, it was all right. I mean, today, I mean, we can talk about this.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. You said something happened at work today that
you
wanted
to
get off your chest.
I mean, you know, we kind of established beforehand this was going to be kind of like a loose, funny kind of vibe.
Yes.
But this is kind of like sentimental. So I don't know if you want to go there right now.
No, let's do it.
You want to go sentimental?
Yeah, I want to go straight to it.
I told my boss I was going to quit my job today.
What?
And just work on music.
Wow.
So it's a monumental day, so it's time to...
So that's why you accepted both the beer and the whiskey.
Hell yes. Yeah, it's on. Let's do this. You only live once. Let's drink.
All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Fake cheers.
Okay. Clink, clink, clink. Clink. Yes. Well, that's a big step, man.
That's some carpe diem stuff.
Yeah.
Right there.
So I mean,
God, it's good to live in the first world.
Yeah, these are white people problems right here.
Yeah,
definitely white people problems.
Yeah.
So are things going that well with the band Pickwick that you guys are?
We are
starting
making
to talk about quitting the day job. Huh?
We are making hundreds of dollars between the six of us.
Hundreds, and in some cases, 50.
Fifties of dollars.
Yeah, fifties of dollars.
Tens of dollars.
Yeah.
Just like we make on this podcast.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by the good people at American Brewing in Edmonds, Washington. And
Is that a real plug or is that a fake?
That
plug?
Is a real plug, yes.
Oh, wow.
We now have an official sponsor that is paying me dirt. and we are enjoying some American Brewing blonde ale. Right now, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, brought to you by the fine people of Milwaukee.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
So things are going good for you guys. Yeah.
Things have been going great, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have been super, like I said, you guys have been super, super busy.
We've been busy. We've been lucky.
Yeah, it's
we've been lucky.
It's mostly luck. Let's just call a spade a spade.
It's not only since October of 2010 have we really been doing this hard on.
Yeah, and
hard on,
the key word is hard on.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That,
yeah.
Words to live by.
So you just quit your job today, Michael, and then
I didn't
brought
quit
the whole band out of the closet. It sounds
yeah,
like.
Well, you know, that's how we do things. We do things hard on. No, I didn't quit my job. I just kind of gave them a timetable for when I will leave. But I did have that conversation.
Okay,
today,
what's the timetable then?
My last day is September 30th. So
So you basically quit your job. I mean, that's
Okay,
you gave them
fine.
A date, a solid date.
Yeah.
I mean, you were hard on that date.
I was very hard on that date. Yeah. They wanted.
This is working better than I imagined.
Did I already say welcome to Dining Room Studios?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got that out of the way. Yeah. So Galen, how's your job? Are you thinking about quitting your job?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Galen it's a fine job.
Galen has more at stake than I do.
Yeah. Right. Right. You only get like a third of the tens of dollars that you guys.
No, it's just that his body can't support itself like living off of their own toenails. Where I can just like. You know, eat my own feces and stuff and just be totally fine.
You're like a perpetual motion machine.
Exactly,
just,
totally. Yeah.
I want to talk about something really important. I want to talk about something really important.
All right, let's
let's do it.
So I'm going to bring our keyboardist, Cassidy Lilstrom, who could not be here today, into the conversation. This weekend he told me about a recent dream where he was eating shit. Did he tell you about this dream?
He has the
sounds like an amazing dream.
He has the most fucked up dreams
so
I've ever heard.
Did he
in my
just
life.
Watch like Human Centipede or something like
no,
that?
No,
or?
That was months ago.
Oh, okay.
Like, he got that dream months ago.
Yeah, that
we rode that wave
right. Yeah.
Of comedy at band practice really too long, too hard and too long.
Yeah. Yeah. We were
you
hard
might even
on
be able to
that.
See it was hard on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Cass is eating shit in a dream.
Ba-dum-tsh.
And it's like dog shit or animal shit.
Right. Why was he eating the poo-poo?
I don't know. It's a freaking dream, man.
This is from the same kid who had a dream that he was swinging his penis around in the same way that like some people like swing a cane, like in an old like black and white movie, like a Charlie Chaplin kind of
right,
thing.
Right,
right. Swinging his cane around, except for it was a penis that was still attached to his body.
Wow.
Yeah. Same
That's
kid.
Pretty amazing. I mean,
his subconscious is pretty scary to me.
But I guess
I really want to meet him.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome.
You'll just have to
Cass
meet him.
Cass is badass.
You'll just have to meet him through me right now.
Okay, okay.
And so he takes a bite of the poop, and then he thinks to himself, I wish that creature would have eaten more chocolate. Or
I don't know if it works that way, Cassidy.
Yeah, I think does it not?
That's the beauty of dreams.
I don't know if chocolate eating more chocolate makes your poop taste like chocolate.
Yeah.
I guess if you maybe ate like an actual coca bean or something like that, that might work.
You won't see that thing in Inception.
I'm just going to take this opportunity.
It's like six layers, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this opportunity to say I'm really glad we decided to do this podcast as a promotional tool for our band.
Oh, yeah.
You just lost all of your fans.
And respect.
And so did I.
And I'm pretty sure that my mother hates us now.
Yeah. Well, just don't show your mom the link. You know?
Yeah. 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 Let's send these. This I'm not sending this one to my mom either. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So let's talk about your band a little bit. Let's move away from the poo and the penis talk.
Damn.
Sorry. Yeah. Just for a second.
It's going to be hard.
It'll be hard on.
Yes, it will. That is now the title of this episode. Yeah. Oh man, this is going wonderful. How long have you guys been a band? Since 2010?
Well, since 2010 we like really pushed it. Before that we were just one of the hundreds of folk bands that was slugging it out at the Sunset on Wednesday nights.
Well, at least you could even get a show at the Sunset.
Yeah, the Sunset's awesome.
No, it's badass.
We love the Sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So you guys were playing, was it still called Pickwick at that point in time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many people were in the band at that point?
900.
Same lineup. Five dudes. We recently added Corey Kruckenberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So now it's a six.
Now it's six.
Six piece.
Now it's six.
Okay. So how did you guys all meet? Because Galen, you and I were talking about this a little bit off air.
Yeah.
That you moved up here from Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, God's country.
Really?
No, I mean
I heard
fine,
that was Ellensburg.
I heard it was Gillette, Wyoming, but you know, you never listened.
Santa Cruz is
that's bullshit. Yeah, I know that's bullshit.
Santa Cruz is fine.
Sorry, it's, listeners in the Midwest.
It's a pretty.
No one lives there. It's fine.
It's empty. No, Santa Cruz is a fine town. Finished school. Followed up my lady. Met the drummer at a Dave Bazan show.
Nice, nice.
Met everybody else after that.
Yeah. What year was that?
God, I don't know. I'm always, like, people ask me that question, what year was that? I don't know.
Do you not even care?
No.
You don't even care when your life changed
forever?
Well,
let's do the math, okay? You help
me. Do you
know
the date that your daughter was
just
born?
Just don't, whatever you do, don't reduce the fraction. Yeah, when you do the math, don't. That's an inside joke. Not a funny one. But
the inside joke is like, we'll always talk about the band. It'll always be like, 4/6 of this band hates camping or whatever. And then I'll be like, and then people will be like, oh, you mean
just
like
stupid facts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, you mean like 2/3? And I'm like, shh.
Don't reduce.
I'm just
it.
Like, don't reduce the fraction. Mostly
8/16.
Mostly because I don't want to set a precedent where if the band gets bigger and the math gets harder, or if that we always have to be up on the reducing.
Yeah. Like, and you it become Arcade Fire and you have 13 people in the band.
And it gives the impression that everyone's expendable as long as it's an even number, too, you know? So it's like,
right,
you know,
right. Okay, okay. So that's how you keep everybody in line, pretty much.
So anyway, so the math-wise, I graduated college, like, in 2000.
What'd you study?
Three or four. Modern literary studies. It's an expensive book club. It's a total waste of my parents' money.
My wife, Mairead, was a English major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's her earning potential?
It's actually pretty good. She's a technical writer.
You see, that's what I should have done because my college doesn't even have grammar classes. It's all just like theory.
Is that why your English is so bad?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. No. Yeah.
Sorry.
That and
they smoke a lot of pot there.
Yeah. While I was there, I was a tour guide.
Here we go.
I guess this Rolling Stone article came out where this like reviewer followed around a Santa Cruz student on 420.
Yeah.
And he decided, you know, unilaterally that UC Santa Cruz was the most stoned campus on earth.
That's saying a lot, yeah, man.
I know.
Because most college campuses are pretty stoned.
So, like, you know, parents would ask me about that. I'd just be like, yeah.
I can't remember.
No, I'll be like, yeah, that's right.
It's only 8/16 of it, though, Mom.
Yeah, yeah. Don't reduce it.
So 2003 rolls around, and I'm done with school, and I came up here, man.
Yeah?
You know?
And enjoyed it ever since.
Yeah, no, actually, I love Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best place to play music. That's true. Yeah,
it's God's country, apparently.
Yeah, it's a great place.
God's
to play
music country.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Did you guys find it? And when you guys finally kind of met and you know, found this cohesive bond of music to play together. Hard on.
Yeah, I was dang, you just beat me to it. I was about
done
to say it.
I thought the joke
too
was
too quick.
I thought the joke was getting old, so I
you lay, stayed away
later. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're cooler.
You're
than us,
yeah, you're above that.
Yeah. We're not the ones wearing a bright fluorescent yellow shirt here, buddy.
The shirt's tight, man.
No, so when you guys started playing music together, did you find it hard at first to start to, you know, get shows? Because I've been in bands here in Seattle, and it was always a lot of work.
Yeah.
To get a good show.
Yeah.
Did you guys have the same problem starting
totally
out?
I think the kind of breakthrough, if you want to call it that we had was, like, we were all sitting around one day, and I can't remember if it was Galen or who, but we kind of figured out that it's better to kind of approach bookers and venues with a whole bill as opposed to just like reaching out.
And that's totally true, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to just reaching out and being like, "Hey, this is what we sound like. Could we get a slot here?
Here's
somewhere?
An MP3 of our best recorded song."
Right. Yeah. So like, if you're able to kind of like, I don't know, get to know some other bands, and even if you don't sound alike, just like create a friendship with other bands and go to other people's shows and like kind of I don't know, like give a potential bill to a booker that takes so much more of the work off of their shoulders, and so they're more likely to book you if they don't know who you
are. So let me break it down for you. In 2008 or 2009, we had no friends.
Uh-huh.
Now we have more friends.
I mean, look at us.
Like band friends?
Right.
You mean?
Yeah, but just, you know.
Other bands?
Just in general, no friends. So, I mean, it's not rocket science.
So basically, if you want to get some shows, don't be a loser and make some friends.
You just got to make friends.
We're losers, though.
Yeah.
We've done a good job of, like, making out with, well, people of the same sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is true. Make out with as many
dudes as you can.
Yeah, but they have to be
in a band. Let me finish that sentence for you.
They have to be in a band.
Yeah, yeah, make sure they're in a band. Yeah.
So actually, we're organizing this conference called Make Out With Other Band Dudes 2011.
Exactly.
So it's
going well.
It's going to be at the Greenwood Senior Center.
I hope.
It's going to be on a Sunday afternoon.
Red Fang is going to be hosting it.
The admission fee is about $35. But you come, you make out with dudes.
And at the end of it, you get to open a show at Numo's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to open for Pearl Jam.
I figure this is as good a time to bring this into the conversation as
I
any.
I thought you were going to announce your candidacy for president of the United States just now.
No, dude.
Just after having a conversation about eating poop. Yeah, this would be a great...
When
listen,
I run...
This
when,
country I've, is in disarray. What we need is someone that speaks their mind.
Yeah, listen to me, honey babies. When I make a goal, I'm going to set the bar high. I will run for the King of America. I'm not going to settle for the president. I'm going to make a new office.
Blood is thicker than water.
So, King of America says, band conference, make out with dudes. Here's what I wanted to say. Michael, my bandmate who's sitting across from me, has mono.
It's true.
So if you want to get some shows, if you want to open for Pearl Jam,
you're going
to
get mono.
You not only have to make out with dudes, whether you're hetero or homo.
For the record, I'm not contagious anymore. Just for the record.
You have to get mono from Michael.
Do you think that's true? What he just said.
Do you have mono?
Do you think that's true?
Because we made out when you first got here, yeah. And now I'm a little bit angry.
He said he's not contagious. Because
it is
chill out.
The kissing disease.
He said he's not contagious.
Do you think that's true, though, what he just said? I want your opinion on this.
What, that you have mono?
Everything he just said, King of America, Greenwood Senior Center, do you think that's true?
Do I think it's true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
So wait. Let's go back here for a second. Do you actually have mono?
Have is such... that could mean
it's not contagious, dude.
That could mean anything.
Have you had mono in the past?
I've had mono in my life. Yes.
Does it ever go... It never goes away, right? You always have thing in your body.
It's like a drunken tattoo, you know? It's a reminder.
It's like a drunken tramp stamp.
Yeah, it's a drunken... it's a butterfly on your lower back.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tribal tattoo around your ankle.
Never totally goes away.
Yeah.
So wait, does it just make you like super tired?
Yeah, I mean, I had the worst sore throat of my life, and I had to use the app on my phone that would speak for me, so I sounded like Stephen Hawking.
That was good.
That was
at band practice.
That was pretty
him
funny.
Holding that up to the microphone.
Holding it up to the mic.
Hello, guys. I think that we should play this part in cut time.
Yeah. I was like going back and forth like whether or not I should actually like do banter for a whole show just using that.
God.
And I was so close to doing it. I was really pissed.
I was in favor.
Galen was in favor. I was so pissed that I healed up the day before the show because I was actually going to do it. It was going to be hilarious. Yeah. But
that sounds like such a great idea. You should have.
Listen. Galen and I have different roles in this band.
Mm.
Galen is what are you? What do you do?
Magician.
Galen's the magician. And I'm the ideas man.
Yeah.
Together, we are Captain Planet.
You all have rings that you stick together?
Hell yes.
Yeah, that is gay. Okay.
Cock rings.
This is a great...
you set me up, baby.
This is a great,
totally
a great
totally
spot to go to our second musical break here. We're going to go out with Staged Names by Pickwick. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Galen and Michael about why they are who they are, because this is we got to get down to the bottom of this. We'll be right back with more from the Air Raid Podcast.
Thank you.
I'm asking.
I know.
It's like it, when you live in England for a while, you can distinguish like the Yorkshire accent from like, you know, the cabbie accent in London.
Well, also
like,
their sirens go wee 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 woo.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I'm just asking you if you can like tell the difference between. Like a fire truck.
I don't think
ambulance.
I can. I don't think I can.
That's too bad because you can, you know, you'd be able to tell like what kind of sting operation.
Right, right. What kind of sting is going down in my neighborhood?
Yeah. Is it a shooting? Is it like some whores getting taken to jail?
Yeah.
Is it a drug deal? Is it a fire? What's going on?
You'll never know. We are back. And we're back with Galen and Michael of Pickwick, of the band Pickwick. And we're talking a little bit about our neighborhood because apparently these guys, you know, we all live close to each other here.
Yeah. We can tell the difference between a police siren and an ambulance.
You can.
I can. Because, little known fact, you were digging a little bit to find out about Galen's past.
Right, right.
When you could have just come over to this side of the table and learned that I grew up on Aurora as well, not as an adult, but as a young lad.
As a child.
As a young lad, when I can't remember if it was my cousins or a friend of the family, somebody came over, and they were, you know, older than my brother and I. Like, Garrett and I were probably like, I don't know, 9 or 10, and they were 16 or 17, and I overheard one of them go, "Hey, man, let's go up to Aurora and watch cops arrest prostitutes," like it was a sport.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, have you guys noticed, though, and this is, I've had this conversation many times, probably on this program as well.
Program?
But, yeah.
Are you Canadian?
Only in my dreams.
Yeah, me too.
That's
a British thing.
But the prostitutes on Aurora, they don't look like prostitutes.
Hmm. I disagree.
Really?
You can always spot them.
Well, no, you can always spot them because they make eye contact with you.
They make eye contact
as you're driving by. Have you noticed that?
Yes. The uniform is.
It's not like a prostitute from Pretty Woman. It's not.
No.
Like they're Julia Roberts with a.
Right.
You know.
But there is always
black miniskirt.
There's always a small handbag involved.
Right.
And I've never, like, you know, tried to analyze that or judge that or anything, but it's just kind of the way it is. There's always a handbag involved. And
let's unpack that handbag.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, what would, okay.
I don't want to go there.
It'd be like a prostitute survival kit.
Right. Yeah. Right. You got, well.
Mace. You probably have mace.
This is terrible.
I bet you got a Luna bar.
Luna bar. Just for a little bit of energy.
You have a glow stick?
Yeah, glow stick.
Find things in the dark when you drop them?
Yeah.
Some Desitin?
Respect?
Some Desitin? Isn't that what I put on my baby's butt.
Right. Like, some Desitin?
Do the math?
Let's see. You know, and some Altadena vitamin D milk, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And 8/16 of a jar of lube.
Don't reduce it.
Yeah. Don't reduce it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I feel like this episode is going to have a big letter R next to it.
No, not at all.
No. Free speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Who'd have thought? Yeah, who'd have thought?
Yeah.
We're there.
In this day
We've
and
arrived.
Age, in this day and age. Free speech.
So you guys, let's talk about the band. Let's switch gears here.
Okay, let's do this.
Because we need to take a break.
Yeah.
We need to get serious.
Okay. We actually do take our music seriously. I know that it probably doesn't seem that way.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So you guys have been working hard for the last couple years.
Yeah.
To kind of, you said you started out playing like more folk music.
Yeah.
Ryan Adams.
Okay.
Wilco.
Okay. Gotcha.
You always say Ryan Adams, but I wasn't. I always just felt like it was Wilco, but whatever.
Well, I mean, Wilco wasn't so into the pedal steel.
What are you talking about, dude? That was like straight up like being there shit.
Yeah, I would.
And
really?
Listen to like what Nels Klein does and all that. He plays lap steel. That's totally
Wilco. But not pedal steel like you used to play.
I disagree, but whatever. Let's
move on.
Because
it's like straight up. Well, I mean, I guess on like Jacksonville City Nights.
Oh, totally. I ripped that lick off a lot. Yeah.
That's like pedal steel,
totally.
Right?
That's pretty shit.
So that's what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you make that? But at some point, you guys made the conscious decision to go more of like a modern soul route, right?
Well, we actually, before we had that transition,
right?
Yeah,
we accomplished the alt country paranoid android.
You could also insert Bohemian Rhapsody there. You could also insert, what's another one that does that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Freaking.
But that's some epic.
You had
stuff.
A three part like
yeah, three what, distinctive
what would you
songs.
Even, what would you, I mean, that's like a, that's yeah, like almost like an opera.
Yeah.
It's a hoedown.
It was, but it was like folky and country-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, that's hence hoedown.
Yeah, so that was like a good accomplishment that no one cared about.
Totally. Of all the accomplishments that we've achieved that no one has cared about, I felt like that was the best.
That was it right there, right there.
We have a lot of achievements that no one's
we
cared
We never
about.
Even recorded that.
Well, you
I
did.
Think you guys should go back now. Yeah. Since you have a lot of fans now, you should go back and record that thing. Yeah. And see what happens to your fan base.
Someone had a really, really good idea. We just played the Dobe Fest over on Orcas Island.
Yeah.
And they had like an open mic, and it was open for the fans, and it was also open for the artists. Like
anyone,
anyone who wanted to play could play. And
excellent.
We played that, and it was really fun. But someone had this amazing idea that I really wish we took them up on to do the open mic, but we played all of our old songs.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just play country shit.
Yeah.
That was Tony Kevin Jr.'s idea.
That would have been really funny, but we didn't do that.
Oh,
Execution's tough for
that's
us.
That's too bad. How did that show go, by the way?
I thought it was amazing. I thought
how big is that festival?
I've never been to it.
1,500 people.
Yeah, that was probably
total.
The most people that we've gotten to play in front of so far.
That's not too bad.
It was pretty cool. There was
this is good.
This is going to get good. There was, I'm what you call, so I'm in therapy, okay?
Okay.
And because, you know, I've had some things that I've had to just work out. And I'm what you call a verbal processor.
Okay.
I only kind of come to conclusions through talking. And sometimes I just.
So you're dyslexic.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I typically say things without thinking about them.
Ah,
and one of
I
the
have the same
exactly.
ailment.
Hence podcast radio.
Yeah,
perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Right. I can't get in trouble for swearing or talking about prostitutes
Love
too
it.
Much. Yeah.
So I've gotten into trouble. This whole affliction has gotten me into trouble multiple times, but the recent encounter was on stage in front of about 1,500 people saying into the mic, hey, anyone who wants to come up on stage and like join us.
That's what that picture's from.
Feel
yeah,
free.
I just looked at that today.
There's a video too. This stage broke.
Yeah. In the back of my mind, what I meant to say was all of our friends who I had talked to 15 minutes before the show and said, hey, come on up and grab a tambourine.
Right, right.
Why don't you 15 come up? Instead, the stage was rushed by a couple hundred people, all just like, yeah, let's get on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that really happened.
That really happened, and it was
And the stage broke?
We broke the stage.
While you were playing?
We broke the stage. No one got hurt. No one died.
It wasn't like what happened at like the latest Sugarland concert or whatever that was?
Too soon.
So let's recap band accomplishments.
Yeah.
Accomplishment number one, the alt-country paranoid android.
Number two, we broke a stage.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what's left.
Next is setting
really, I think you guys should just quit while you're ahead.
Next is setting fire to the White House. So
with just
do
our
not.
Music.
I'm gonna have with to. I'm gonna music. Have to blank that whole part out.
Oh, crap.
You realize that, right?
No. What about?
See, this is the ailment right here. We're getting firsthand.
Yeah.
You can't say that stuff even on the internet.
Oh crap.
I'm going to get fucked in the butt by, not that there's anything wrong with that.
By the King of America.
By the King of America and the Secret Service.
Okay. For the record, Secret Service, if you're listening to this podcast.
Which they aren't.
All I meant by that.
Because you two and I are going to be the only ones listening
exactly.
to this podcast.
Like everyone is tuned out.
Right, right.
At this point.
Count me out,
all guys. All I meant by that was I was just about to do something incredibly stupid.
Just now?
Well, I did do something stupid. I just said something that apparently isn't covered by free speech. It wasn't covered by the First Amendment. You can't get any dumber than that.
I'm just joking. Well, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But so you would say that Dobe was a complete success?
Yeah, it was really fun.
And except for the stage breaking.
Except for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But doing that open mic thing was really fun because we had to our band is a really hard band to kind of strip down and do like acoustic shows or anything
right,
like that.
Right, right. And yeah, because so you guys got keys.
We have a lot of different things. A
lot of vocals going on.
Yeah, and so we were kind of asked by some people to kind of do some arrangements of some stripped down versions of our songs, and we were just like, how the hell do we do that?
Yeah,
but we came up with some versions that I actually think are pretty fun, like just doing things that are totally left field, like turning one of our songs into like a Delta Blues kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And just using like a lot of stomps and claps and stuff like that. And for me, that was the most fun performance of the whole thing. Even more than like playing the main stage. Like that was really fun.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And so, I mean, most of these shows, what, it just happens in the woods?
Well,
what is the deal with that festival?
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's like a whole serious discussion going on about how like hyper local, like music bookers and blogs can support, you know, micro festivals.
Right, right.
And put on these micro festivals.
Yeah. Well, because the longer this goes on, because Dobe has like, I don't know, every year it seems like it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Because
more
people are finding out about it. They're getting bigger acts, more popular bands like yourself. And
but it's a pretty small resort. So I don't think they could really sustain that many more
yeah,
people.
Yeah, right.
Than
I think
than
the idea.
Do they sell
it?
Tickets?
Oh yeah, like it sold out in 3 minutes.
Oh wow!
Like
before they announced the lineup.
Yeah.
So these guys are set.
Yeah, and you know, I think what they're trying to do is just kind of create, and I really do think that they're pulling it off, like creating an atmosphere where that wall between artist and fan is just totally it's non-existent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they're keeping this festival like really intimate. And only selling a certain amount of tickets, and it'll sell out really quick. And they'll never, I think from now on, I mean, I don't know what Kevin and Chad like want to do with it, but I would assume that what they did this year is what they'll do every year from now on and not say who's playing. That's kind of not really what the point is. Because,
if
you find out that like a big, huge band that could sell out the Paramount is playing, you're just going to get a whole bunch of fans of that one band going
as opposed to
going for the experience.
Right. Yeah.
And the experience is kind of to kind of be a part of something bigger than yourself and to be exposed to kind of, you know, I think their lineups are getting more and more eclectic. I think once the first couple years it was just mainly Seattle folk, indie rock kind of thing. But this year they had, you know, they had a bunch of hip hop groups. They had Champagne Champagne, which headlined the first night, which
was cool.
Amazing. Like they put on a
freaking
flawless, like afterwards Galen and I were just like, that's about as flawless a hip hop show as you can do. Like that.
Yeah.
Just any show
they,
in general.
Yeah. They blew my mind. And then, and then you juxtapose that with, a dude like, this guy that I've loved for years, named Frank Fairfield, who, opened up for Fleet Foxes on their first headlining tour. He's kind of like this guy who, reinterprets songs from before 1920.
He's basically an argument that wormholes exist.
He walked
into
a
wormhole.
Twirled mustache.
No, he's totally.
Does he ride a bicycle with a tiny little wheel in the back and a big wheel in the front?
He talks about like what a true man is and the characteristics.
Yeah. If you haven't picked it up by now, Galen and I are not real men. We're not real men. But this guy's a real man. Like
according to him or today's standards.
I'm pretty sure he could build a log cabin.
Yeah. I mean that guy's impressive.
He's
really impressive.
He's like a virtuoso at three instruments. Like he can pick up the fiddle or guitar or banjo and
just do
whatever.
Anything.
And like you close.
I've always envied those people.
Yeah.
Man.
You listen to him. I bought his record. And
is it on vinyl?
Yeah, it was on vinyl. It was badass.
Wow, you have it?
Fuck
yeah. Only, but you can only you can't play it on a normal record player.
Yeah.
It only goes on Vitrola.
It's only 78.
Yeah.
I don't know. You listen to him and you close your eyes and you feel like you're in a different era. Like I'm a big fan of those Alan Lomax recordings that, like,
I don't know that.
Like, a lot of the, not a lot, but some of the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
comes from those.
Right,
what he did was he kind of went down south and just recorded random people on their porch just playing stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, what Frank's doing kind of reminds me of that. It's just, like, really from the heart and really cool, like, Americana, bluegrassy, old folk songs. It's,
right.
It's really great.
Right.
It's beautiful stuff.
So how did you guys, then make the switch? Let's get back to this. My initial question is,
how did you make tangents, what we're best at.
right. How did you make the switch from doing this, you know, indie folk,
kind of indie folk pop
is what it is, right? Into doing this modern soul that you guys are doing now.
Well, I mean, it's in our bio and stuff, but I mean, I really did hear.
I didn't read that.
I really
like Michael. I am dyslexic.
Yeah,
I heard.
It's okay. There's a support group.
I heard that Sam Cooke's song "A Change Is Gonna Come."
Yeah,
on KXP, sitting at my Valley Medical Center.
I still can't believe that you had never heard that before. Like,
yeah,
that,
I know.
That's
like,
such like an iconic
what, this
song.
Was just like a couple years ago?
Yeah,
or
no,
something?
It was like a year ago or two.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, you know, I just, it was one of those songs that you'd heard of and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to listen to that song someday. But then it came on and it just totally messed me up.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I was like, I got to start singing.
Were you big into Sam? I mean, well, obviously you weren't that big into Sam Cooke before,
but
were you big into soul?
To geek out a wee bit.
Yeah.
I was into Oliver Wang, who's a DJ in LA's blog, Soul Sides.
Okay, yeah.
And so he posts, you know, a couple songs a week of kind of old vinyl rips that he does of, you know, like, well, you know, like he did a post on Amy Winehouse after she died, but then he also puts all this like old, like, you know, undiscovered gospel stuff. And so I had been, you know, making mixtapes from the stuff he was putting on there, and I was like, you know, this music is universal. And I was like, every person who listens to this, like, can interact with it, whether like your economic status, like, you know, how smart you are, you know, man, woman, whatever, you can enter into that music because it's like, you know, it interacts with your body as well as
it was around that time that Galen and I, it might sound funny, but it actually for me was like a pretty eye-opening conversation. Like, we had this conversation like, who's more important, the Beatles or Stevie Wonder? And like, my
that's a tough one.
Yeah, think about it.
No, it's easy.
and it's not tough. And for me, it's just like, you know, the Beatles are the greatest rock and roll band of all time, and
right.
Of course they are. But Galen's point was there's something about like listening, not all Stevie, because some of Stevie is shit.
I believe when I fall in love with you, I will be forever.
But like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You are really staring me down too.
That was like, uncomfortable actually, because I thought I was.
You told
like,
me you were going to do something uncomfortable, and you just
he just pulled it
success.
Out. Yeah, he just pulled the wild
success.
Card.
Success.
No, but like,
winning.
Yeah, winning. No, like the
Sheen.
There's I'm trying to be serious and sentimental right now. There's something about, and I won't just like say just Stevie Wonder, but kind of soul music from that era. There are certain songs and stuff that, like, I don't care who you are, like, you just interact with them in a way that you don't interact with other music. Like,
no matter what type of music you are,
you just bob your head or tap your foot or you just like, it's just right. It's great. And that's universal. And,
so we took those points of inspiration and we put them through the Pickwick factory / machine
/ slave labor camp.
You know what I'm saying? And
it's like a fax copier that you guys have in your practice room or something.
Exactly.
And like, I would go to shows in Seattle, you know, and I would just bob my head and listen to the music. But people at our shows are dancing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
See, I have not been to one of your shows yet.
It's unbelievable. People come and they dance.
That's when I heard that people were actually dancing at your shows, I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That is a total lie.
Because
in Seattle, people do not dance. And that is a, like, you know, it's become kind of a cliche. It's become kind of a, you know, a myth and a legend about Seattle. But it is totally true that people do not move.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, is make people move. You know?
That is amazing, though, that you guys can do that.
But it's not us who does it. It's my brother who plays bass, and he just gets all the loins all nice and warm. And some might say hard on.
Hard on. Bringing it back,
the
sir.
The warm loins. Yeah.
Good God. Yeah. Good God.
You didn't know what you were getting into.
I had no idea. See, the thing is that
we need Frank Fairfield to show up and teach us some manners.
If Frank Fairfield,
he would just be shaking his head.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if Frank Fairfield was sitting right here during this podcast, it would be the greatest podcast of all time.
I'm just going to say
profanity.
That the whole time he was sitting there, he'd be like lifting like this huge barbell, but the big ball barbells and say 400. Yeah.
And then he's wearing one of those. Well, this is a great little tune about the old Swami River.
And he'd be wearing the New York Post. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we'd be like, you know, I think this poop tastes like it needs more chocolate.
And we're all wearing those like skin tight
leotards,
like turn of the century swimsuits that are like. Tank tops, red stripes.
Yeah. I got a shirt like that, actually. Yeah,
that's tight.
It's becoming hip again. Yeah. So, how did you guys come up with the name Pickwick? Is it from the Charles Dickens book?
Since no one's listening to this, I'll go into great detail.
Okay.
So I was in college, and there was this like institution that studied Charles Dickens. Yeah.
Just joking.
Expensive book club. So I heard that the Pickwick Papers was written by Charles Dickens when he was like 20 or 21 or something. You know, I know it was written in installments, blah blah blah, paid by the word, blah blah blah. But I was like, well, geez, like I'm 20, I gotta do something. You know, so I mean, the thing, you know, I've always wanted to play music, so I'm okay, let's call this thing Pickwick. But here's the thing that we tell people to fake that we're cool.
Or fake sincerity.
Yeah.
Because we really don't care about the name. I don't.
Yeah. Well, you can't change it now.
No, we can't.
We're screwed.
Yeah, you're pretty much stuck.
We're stuck with Dick Lick, Pickwick, Lick Dick.
What is it? It's Lick Dick, Pick Dick, Sick Dick.
Anyway, this is what we
pretty
say.
Pretty much everything Dick.
This is what we say to try to win people over who are like, hey, Lick Dick.
Yeah.
So Lou Reed, singer of Velvet Underground, was a staff songwriter at Pickwick Records.
Okay.
Which was kind of like a Tin Pan Alley songhouse kind of at that point, early 60s or whatever. And they commissioned him to write a dance song, like to rival The Twist. They're like, hey, The Twist is hot. We want you, Lou Reed, singer of the Velvet Underground.
The idea of Lou Reed.
This is before the Velvet Underground.
Yeah. Jesus.
But so he writes this dance song called The Ostrich.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, put your head in the sand.
I still think someday we need to cover it.
Yeah, we should cover it.
We should cover that song.
So anyway.
Is it just terrible?
No, I don't know. It's pretty good.
It would. Yeah. I'm sure it would be fitting in our catalog.
It's better than all of ours.
It's better than all of our songs.
But so, you know, I was like, wow, that's wild. You know, we're a dance band. We're called Pickwick. So that's the story that we
Perfect.
Tell to, you
Perfect.
Know, try to be cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, like I don't have any qualms with the name. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean,
it's too late.
I feel like there's better names out there, but at the same time, it is, you know, we've had it for a while, and I actually like how the word looks, that's kind of a weird, like with a...
I can see that.
With a certain font, with a serif involved.
Maybe a Comic Sans.
Comic Sans.
No. You put a Comic Sans in there or some sort of serif.
That is such a hot font joke these days.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone
really
hates
it?
Comic Sans,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Throw
yeah.
down
well,
some
it's,
Comic
it's,
Sans.
Don't fuck with
it's
Comic
just
Sans.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, it looks like you're a six-year-old that is trying to mow lawns in his neighborhood.
My old roommate was a designer, and he was like,
which
if you
I
ever,
did, by the way.
You. Yeah, my old roommate was a designer, and he said, if you ever use Comic Sans, I will punch you in the balls.
And then he did, and it was great.
It was awesome. it was good.
And I kind of liked it.
It was good for me.
And then he did, and I reached Nirvana.
The male G-spot is located in the balls when you're punched in it.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah. So you guys are going to be playing Bumbershoot here.
Yes.
Coming up.
Surprisingly.
do you ever get nervous? Because, I mean, that's going to be a big show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to, you know, in the classic Seattle tradition, develop a heroin dependency because I get so nervous, you know.
Yeah.
No, that's passé now.
Oh, it's passé?
Yeah, okay. That's passé.
Just like the Common Sans joke.
Yeah.
Comic.
Yeah. No, you're going to get, you're going to, like,
what
it's
are we
gonna be, it's cocaine now.
It's cocaine now. Okay.
It's cocaine again.
Okay. Well, I'm not too into the upper vibe. I need to mellow out, you know. So maybe I'll just become an alcoholic.
What category is heroin? I'm sorry. Excuse
an opiate?
Excuse my ignorance.
No, yeah.
It's an opiate.
My understanding is that it just calms you down and makes you go to sleep, makes you nod off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it does.
Yeah, that's all it does, you know. It's basically, it's a sleep aid.
Yeah, so instead of desiring opiates before a set, yeah. I usually just have to poop.
Yeah. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Half hour before set or whatever.
That's what happened at Doe Bay. Galen and I,
bringing it back to poop.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Don Slack from KEXP, he's like the program director at KEXP. Mm-hmm. He was going to announce us at Doe Bay, which was, you know, very nice of him.
Please tell me he had to be like,
and Galen was serious, like, wait a second, I gotta piss. And then I was like, on second thought, so do I. And so he and I made a beeline for the honey bucket and let it roll.
So our sphincters are a little touchy, and we have we're incontinent.
It's the nerves, man.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those
things. It's the nerves. When you get anxious and stuff, I have the same thing.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I always get nervous.
And you sit there for 20 minutes playing Sudoku.
Yeah. It's
nothing comes out.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's the anticipation that gets me. Like, once we get on stage, it always goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like the anticipation for me is always pretty bad. So, I'm working on it, you know. I'm in therapy. I'm, like, learning breathing exercises.
Good.
Trying to figure it out. In a healthy way.
Now, do you guys ever, like, because you guys, you know, you got six people in the band. You ever, like, hold hands and say, hey, this is going to be a great show? Do you do that? Like, you always see in, like, the documentaries?
I have this practice where I make everyone make eye contact with me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I say, get on my wavelength, babies. Look me in the eye. I mean, this is true.
Do you call your bandmates babies?
Yeah, mostly.
You're going to get kicked out of this band.
No, I'm the king of this band.
Yeah.
Anybody tries to touch my spot in this band, I'm going to king thump them.
Care to put that in writing?
Yeah. I do care.
It's in your contract. Yeah.
So, you know, and if I'm looking at their eyes and anybody's vibing in a weird way, shiv. That's our pre-band.
You have like a shard of glass
with a
duct tape handle.
He always carries around this toothbrush that's been like whittled down.
Shiv.
And it's just ready to go.
Right.
Look me in the eye for fear of being toothbrush shivved pre-show.
Yeah,
well, late.
The bleeding won't stop.
Get on stage.
Don't cry like a girl.
You ain't getting paid unless you're up there.
Actually, all the money goes into a fund, so none of us get paid.
Yeah, you get a band fund.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Which, like,
unless you find that a band member is skimming off the top.
To make it come full circle, the fact that none of us get paid is what makes my decision today just so brilliant. You know. Just the smartest idea.
We can all see that you've really thought this through.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
well, I got to say, thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Yeah.
So let's plug your wares here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can we find the music? When can we see you next?
Yeah. So
and what's going on?
Our next show is at the Seattle Center Mural. The KXP free show.
Oh, you're
show.
Doing the mural shows.
Yeah. It's
those
on the 26th, Friday night's
That's
free.
That's going to be a huge crowd, too.
Bring the kids. I think we start at 6:45. We'll have our records for sale there, $5 each. We have four different 45s that we're selling, and our music is all available on Bandcamp for download.
Wonderful.
Pickwick.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, Buck a Song.
Buck a Song.
Buck a Song,
nice.
You know.
Nice.
So yeah, that's how we're making our millions is $1 at a time.
$1 at a time.
Making our 50s.
Yeah, you know, and then we have a busy, you know, schedule for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Trying to give it a real push.
You guys going to be going on tour here anytime soon?
No tours planned, but we're going to record our record. So we're going to really
I won't say who at this point, but
I talked to him on the phone today.
Yeah, I know.
We talked about Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's
we
really
talked
well.
About Charlie Sheen. Which gave me inspiration for
with
that,
the producer
for that comment earlier.
Yeah.
Yes,
today?
The producer.
Yeah. So to get,
we talked about Will Oldham from Bonnie Prince Billy. We talked about Tim and Eric, which is a show. I guess I would I'd really like, but I've never seen.
Yeah, I can tell that you would really be in.
Everybody
that show.
Says that, but I've never, yeah. I've never heard
Dr.
of it.
Dr. Steve Brule.
Yeah, but basically, we reached out to. This is going to sound corny, but basically, our hero, and was just we were just like, hey man, like we love what you do, and this is what we sound like, and we would love to work with you, and for some crazy weird reason, he said yes. And
I have a feeling of who this is, and if I'm right, he's coming on the show in a couple weeks.
We'll tell you off air.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think you're right because he's dead, and we spoke to him through a medium.
His name
with a Ouija board.
Yeah, his name is John Lennon.
Actually,
December 8th.
It's okay, Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono is going to be your.
No, but like producer. we feel really lucky and. I don't know, like, the stuff that's been happening the last couple months has just been wild, and, like, I don't know, like, what we were talking to you about, we just got offered, like, just a crazy show today that uh-huh. we have to figure out if we can do it or not, but it's, like,
right.
I don't know, we've been in this band for a while, and we've been playing for a while, and we're all really good friends, and we love each other, and it's really a fun time right now, and we feel very fortunate.
Which is, this is another opportunity to plug our band, you know, the band, the Greenwood Senior Center event that we're planning. So if you're a young band and you think we're doing something right.
And you want to make out with dudes.
Even after listening to this.
Yeah.
Dudes with mono.
Yeah. If you want to get mono, I'll be waiting for you in the parking lot. You pay your $5.
Yeah.
We make out and I give you some advice on, you know, what not to do.
Pickwick says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man! And then what? Let's see. You guys are playing Labor Day weekend at Bumbershoot.
Yes.
What day are you guys playing?
We're playing Saturday.
Okay. And what stage? Do you know?
We're playing EMP.
Oh, EMP.
Yeah.
That's gonna be fun, man. It has that huge screen.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Oh, that's not it. Oh no.
It's not the Sky Church. We're playing at the level 3. They tucked us up in the top.
It's still gonna be fun, though.
They were afraid.
It's gonna be great.
And we're also gonna do Music Fest Northwest, which is like
awesome.
Portland's Bumbershoot. And
City Arts Fest.
Oh, you're playing City Arts coming up.
We're playing City Arts Fest. We're opening for the band Boxer Rebellion.
Nice.
They were in that Drew Barrymore movie. That was pretty tight.
Yeah. And then you've kind of caught us.
They really were.
Yeah.
See, and this is what I said when I brought you guys on too. You are one of the busiest bands in Seattle right now. And yeah.
Yeah, we
and Drew Barrymore. I mean,
yeah,
who knew?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, you're kind of catching us at a little bit of a weird time because we have a bunch of stuff that's kind of in the works that we can't really talk about right now.
Excellent.
But that
like
actually
we successfully finished our time machine invention.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to use it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You think the Chinese are going to be the next to the moon? Incorrect.
It's Pickwick.
It's us.
It's Dick Prick.
You've heard it first. Yeah. Dick Lick is going to the moon.
That never happened, by the way. No one's ever been to the moon.
It was all fake.
That was staged.
Have you not seen Transformers 3?
You know, I'd like to see the new Planet of the Apes, though.
Dude, that looks excellent.
It does.
Are you
good,
kidding me?
No, I want to see it. It looks good.
Rise of the Apes?
Dude, the last one was terrible. Like, yeah.
Well,
was
no,
like,
okay,
was
that,
like,
was, that was
like,
bad. This
was
is
like
a
Tim,
prequel, Michael.
I was like,
a prequel.
I was like, Tim Burton's tight. You know, Planet of the
Tim
Apes.
Tim Burton made Planet of the Apes?
The remake.
The remake,
it was
yeah.
fucking terrible.
With Mark Wahlberg?
Huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
actually have to see that again.
Most terrible.
Boring.
Most terrible prequels. Redeem themselves in the sequel to the prequel.
I disagree because Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 fucking sucked, and Mesa Jar Jar Binks was stupid.
Whoa. You've practiced that a lot, though, which I can tells me that you kind of liked it.
Dude, I can do Jar Jar, and I can do Gollum.
Please don't do Gollum. It's so boring when you do Gollum.
Master so says boring. We must take us to precious to Mordor.
I never thought I'd do that on a podcast.
You get so many ladies from your Gollum impression.
Our listeners in Norway right now are going, delete.
I'm currently getting laid by nerds right now. Think about that.
I apologize for this entire thing.
Oh, God. This has just been the worst interview ever.
Or
no, seriously, this has been one of the funnest interviews ever, and I really appreciate you guys coming out. And
you
hopefully,
should take some lessons
in the future,
on grammar from your wife.
I definitely need to, yeah. And she needs to still teach me how to read, which she hasn't done yet. So, Could you tell me, what does this say on my computer screen?
this is so funny.
I totally thought you were serious just then. That was amazing. I was like, are you kidding? Who is this guy?
I'm really good at lying. Yeah. No, but thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And
yeah, thanks,
and
man.
Hopefully sometime in the near future we can get you guys back on. Yeah. Now that you're not afraid of coming like two blocks away from where you live to come and do a podcast with me. Fake radio.
Yeah. Thanks again for having us. This is really fun.
Yeah, I've had a great time. And you can find us at www.air-raid.net. We're also on Stitcher under the Air Raid Podcast, and you can find us on the Noisebeam Network from the good people at Fisher Communications. Also, remember that you guys need to check out our new sponsor. They are a great, great brewery here in Edmonds, Washington. American Brewing. Check them out. Drink domestic. Buy American. Burp. Okay. And we've got a lot of great things coming up for you guys in the upcoming weeks. So make sure to tune in to the next episode, and we will see you next week. We're going to go out today with the song Blackout by Pickwick, Dick Prick,
Lick
whatever
dick.
You can, Lick Dick.
That's my favorite.
This is, oh man, I'm going to, I might have to bleep some of the swear words in this episode.
Yeah, I would.
But thanks again, you guys.
Just bleep the whole thing.
Just tune in. It's just one. It's one. An hour and 15 minutes of
Dude,
just. Yeah,
please,
yeah.
That would be so good.
Then you can tell your mom that you can listen to this.
Hey, mom, listen to this. Lose your hearing.
It would be better.
All right, this is Blackout by Pickwick, and we'll see you next week.